Good morning. I'm Bean Malcolm Mackay today. He went for a ride on his bike yesterday and he hasn't come back yet. He was hoping to get up very early in Whakatane, about 7 or 6, and get here in time to do this, but he hasn't quite made it yet. Philemon 1, verses 1 to 25. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our friend and fellow worker. Also to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Articus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
Short prayer for John as he gives us his message, and I pray for Ron as well. We talked about teams this morning, and the team here is John and Ron, Batman and Robin.
Which is which?
Robin's crook at the moment, so we're relying on Batman here. So. Lord, we pray for John, and we thank you for the words that you've given him this week to share with us. Lord, open our hearts and our ears to hear these words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you. There was some photos from the parish picnic. It was a great time. There were a lot of real triers at the parish picnic when it came to those games. There's a lot of competitive people in our parish. I suppose that fits in a bit. No, it doesn't fit in with Grant's. Well, the three-legged race is teamwork, but the rest of it, you should have seen some of those people, especially that Grant Patton Simpson there in that top corner there, flying in his sack. So for those of you who missed it, there's one or two photos for you to look at. It was a really good time. Thank you, G-Set, for putting that together for us. It was a wonderful time of fellowship. Really an enjoyable time. We're thinking today about how we help each other to grow. And as we begin to think about that, I just want to say a welcome this morning to those who are new with us or visiting with us this morning. So good to have you here. And the things that we're talking about today come out of a series that we're in the middle of, week four. And so we're thinking about 40 days of community. The information, the outline really comes from Rick Warren and Saddleback Church. And so we're working through that as a church, both our congregation here at Mount Eden and our congregation at Epsom. And so we're in the middle of that. When I look back on my own Christian life, I see how many different people have helped me to grow. I think about when I was a teenager, 14, and just come into the church, we had a youth group leader called Robert, and he invested time in me and put his energies there, made resources available, took us out on his little Honda Civic to the beach and to other places. The youth group would gather together. And I look upon him with fondness, with regard, because he was one of the first people to really plow deeply the word of the Lord into my heart and into my life. Later on in my life, I became a youth group leader, youth group worker, did some of that stuff with others as well, working together as a team. And I can see how many different people at many different times put their effort into helping me to grow so that I could begin to mature in my Christian life. I had a couple of friends, both of whom were named Peter. And each Wednesday at lunchtime, we would get together and we would talk about how our week was going. We would open the Bible, we'd bring out some verses, we'd encourage each other so that we could again grow. So many people have done that for me. And then as I became a young adult, people opened up their homes and there were home groups and I could go along there and again grow in my faith. And when Melanie and I became married and set up our own house, we began to have home groups at our place and begin to help other people. When I look back, I see that there are three key things that have contributed to my own spiritual growth. One is that God gives the resources for growth. Presence of His Spirit, the revelation that comes from His Word. Secondly, the church provides opportunities for growth, often through the willingness of people who are busy people. Everyone's busy. I don't know anyone who's not busy. If you're not busy, let me know. You'd be about the only one on the books. Busy people who then again open their homes. And through that, the church provides opportunities. And the third thing was this. I was willing to make the most of those opportunities. God resourced, the church provided, and I was willing to make the most of those opportunities. When you look back on your life, who helped you to grow spiritually? You might think of a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a youth group worker, someone who embraced you and drew you in and helped you to find your way through the scriptures and the understanding of the faith so that you could grow. Or perhaps you had at some stage in your life a spiritual growth spurt when all of a sudden things seem to speed up in your spiritual life. You seem to be able to go deeper and higher and wider in your faith. And that may have been linked to the encouragement of a friend who came alongside you, the reading of a book or going to a course. Somehow or other, this touched you and enabled you to grow because people have helped you. But flip this around. Who have you helped? Who have you helped to grow? Who have you stood alongside? Maybe through leadership in Sunday school, or again in youth group, or hosting a Bible study. Maybe you have helped as our church has run the Alpha course. Maybe you haven't helped anyone. Let today be the day that changes. Let today be the day that you also step up to help others. And so we're beginning this 40 days of community, beginning week 4. Some are hosting, some are leading. Thank you. Thank you to those who have opened your homes. Thank you to those who take the time to look through the material beforehand and prepare it for those who make the refreshments. It is so good that you would do that for us. And we have over 70 people in our home groups at the moment who are doing this, learning together, going through those challenges. And each Sunday, of course, through this time, we have these messages we were able to hear, be challenged, and to grow. And so again, reflecting on my experience of growth, I find God's resources are always available. The church's ability to provide opportunities, that fluctuates a little bit from church to church. It depends on the willingness of the members to make it a priority. And then there's the big thing that really affects you, your willingness to make the most of those opportunities as they come along. And our own individual commitment varies, fluctuates from time to time. For spiritual growth to take place, all these three components are needed. God's resources are guaranteed. You turn to God, you open the Bible, you turn to Him in prayer, you will find that God's resources are there for you. But how are we doing as a church? How are we doing at providing what people need in order to grow? And how are you doing as an individual, taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth? We'll say today, as Grant said with the children, there's teamwork involved in this, but there's also the sense that you need to play your part. Well, the Bible makes it clear that as a family of faith, we are obliged to help each other grow spiritually. At the beginning of the Old Testament, there's a story of two brothers, Cain and Abel. Some of you will remember that story. Cain killed his brother Abel and then tried to sort of cover it up and pretend that it hadn't happened. Now, God, who knows everything, still came along to Cain and said to him, "Where is Abel?" And Abel turned to God defiantly, shirking responsibility, pretending not to know. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Message Bible translates that as Cain saying, "How should I know? I'm not his babysitter." And he feigned this attitude to cover his crime. "I don't know. I don't care. I'm not responsible. I'm not accountable for him. What on earth are you asking me for?" And as Cain asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" we know in our hearts the answer to that question is yes. Of course. You have this obligation of care for your brother. You should have this sense of love within your heart that would work your heart, your mind, your attitude towards him in love to be good for him. And the answer to us is yes, we are our brothers, our sister's keeper. One of the best love stories in the New Testament which Jesus tells is that of the Good Samaritan. And so there was this person traveling along the road. Some robbers come, take his money, beat him up, leave him for dead. Now, some religious people from his own culture come along and they see him there and they pass by on the other side and they refuse to help him. But this other person, the Samaritan, who was in many respects an enemy of that people, turned out to be a really good guy. And so we know him as the Good Samaritan. And he went across and he cleaned this guy's wounds. He gave him something to drink. He put him on his donkey. He took him to a place and he paid so that he could stay there, be rested and cared for. This story shouts at us. You are responsible. We are responsible for our brothers, for our sisters, for the people who we see in need. And so in part, the question then arises, how can we create an atmosphere for growth? How can we create an atmosphere in our church where it is good for our brothers and sisters in the faith, where we do care for them, where we do watch over them, where we do help them in their growth. What can we do to prepare our church to be good spiritual soil, that when the seed of the gospel is sown in someone's life, that it starts to grow and to blossom and to be fruitful? What can we do? Well, we could focus on the wonderful resource of the Bible, preaching, study, meditation, understanding that the Word of God is so helpful for us, nourishes us, helps us to grow. But that's not our focus today. We could acknowledge the importance of prayer, deepening our spiritual roots, making that strong link of connection and relationship with God, where day by day and moment by moment we're walking with God and talking with God in prayer, so important to spiritual growth. But that is not our focus today. Rather, our focus is on how we can help each other. Paul urged and commanded the early Christians, saying, "Encourage one another and build each other up." And what is our part in that? How can I encourage you and build you up? How can you encourage me and build me up? It's really important to think about this, because if God has ordered things in such a way that our spiritual growth depends on the other people he puts around us, then it's really important that the people around us pick up the responsibility and find ways of helping that to happen, and that we, with others, help growth to happen with them. It brings to mind the story that Jesus told, which we call the parable of the talents. And in this story, there were three people, and Jesus gave each of them a differing amount of money. And then, the master gave them different amounts of money. And then the master in the story goes away for a long while. Two of them invest the money. One of them buries it. So when the master comes back, two of them are able to give the money plus interest and show that they have been doing what the master had called them to, equipped them to, and resourced them to do. But one of them just digs up, brings the stuff out of the soil, and gives back what the master had originally given. And the master is so upset with what has happened here. And you see, God has entrusted you, each one of us, with skills and gifts that can build others up and that can encourage other people. And are we using these? Are we investing them wisely so that they bring a return? Or have we buried our head in the sand and refused to use them? Well, today we're thinking about how we use these things and what we can do. And so Rick Warren in his study says, we encourage each other and build each other up by affirming each other's worth. You are precious in the eyes of God. Each one of us, precious in the eyes of God. You have never looked at a person that God does not love. And when you look in the mirror, you are looking at someone who God loves. Now, I quite enjoy watching the Antiques Roadshow. And occasionally on the Antiques Roadshow, you'll get someone who's arrived with something that they've picked up from a car boot sale and maybe paid a few pounds for it. Or they've been passing by a skip. Someone has thrown some stuff away and they have been able to take it, and they bring it to the roadshow, and they might have paid £4 or £5 for this, and they find out it's worth £400 or £500 or maybe even thousands of pounds. It's really interesting to watch their faces light up as they realize they've got a small fortune on their hands. Someone seeing me walking down the road might look at me and think, oh, well, just an ordinary guy. Nothing. You might think in some respects that you are on the junk pile of life. But the reality is this: someone values you. God values you so much. When did that object in the roadshow become valuable? It was valuable when the fool sold it for £5, when they could have made 500 for it, when they threw it onto the skip. It was a valuable item. The value comes when an expert sees it and knows exactly what it is. And God, our expert, looks at each one of us and values us so, so much. It's hard for me to express to you just how much God loves each one of us. And so we are given this opportunity then to help people grow by affirming them, by seeing their value. by acknowledging that and treating them as such. We also affirm people by accepting them. The scriptures say, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. I find it really interesting when I look at the first group of disciples that Jesus called. So Peter was a hot-headed, impulsive fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector who was, in a sense, an enemy to the people and working with the oppressors. Simon was a zealot, which meant he was a sworn enemy of Matthew. James and John were secretly on the side trying to organize things so that they could have the very best seats in heaven. Thomas was fickle, one day being bold and the next day being full of doubts. Jesus became friends with Nicodemus, who was a very intelligent person and a member of the ruling council in Jerusalem. That council would later condemn Jesus to death. And he accepted the Samaritan woman, even though there were many reasons why he shouldn't have been talking to her. Jesus even helped a Roman officer of the despised occupying army. All of these people who Jesus came to know and would interact with. And so when we look at the early church, we find all sorts of people, slaves, men, women, city officials, people of the royal household, and even some people like Paul, who once persecuted and arrested people for being Christians. And in this church today, there is that sort of diversity, diversity of culture, diversity of educational background, some who are employers, some who are employees, some who have no patience, some who have great patience, some who are impulsive, some who take a lot of time to consider things. In many respects, we are just an odd mix of people as the first disciples. And Jesus brings us together, this odd mix of people, wants to affirm us and wants us to accept each other. Because of who Jesus is, you never know who is going to come through that door. You never know what sort of person is going to come through that door, because Jesus brings all sorts of people into his family. And because of that, we have a family responsibility to accept each other. Jesus has accepted us. We must accept each other. We also affirm each other with attention. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more. Technology is changing how we relate with one another. Someone has coined the phrase cocooned community. So in the olden days, not that long ago, families might have sat down and watched television together, had a good laugh at what was on the TV. Or they might have played cards or played a board game. But now people have this cocoon community where one person will be sitting down and texting. Another person will be sitting down and doing an email. Someone else will be sitting down and playing a game on the computer. They're in the same room, but they're not really sharing in that same community as once they had. At church, we can't have that. We can't have that cocoon community. We need to be able to relate to each other and to give each other attention. It would be very strange if you came into church today and no one said hello to you. You sat down at your seat, went through the motions, singing, praying, bringing your offering, and then just went straight out again and no one talked to you. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not just about what you believe. It's not just about what doctrines you will hold to. It's about the way we become a family in Christ and are drawn together. Continue to meet together as some are doing. But maybe you're on the brink of giving up that meeting together. Hang in there. Some of you meet with Christians during the week for Bible study. That's a part of how we come closer to each other and we give each other attention. Especially those midweek meetings, we call them home groups or study groups or small groups, whatever you call them. A small group of people get together, they can really get to know each other. They can understand each other's issues, each other's problems. They can help each other through difficult times. They can laugh and enjoy each other's good times. Whenever you look at a church that's at a low ebb, you invariably find there are no home groups and people are neglecting to meet together. The first sign that someone is spiritually backsliding or drifting away from the faith is they'll stop going to their home group. Or they don't come to church quite so often. And they find that by doing that, their spiritual life just dries up and dries up. We need each other. We need to be together. We need to be relating to each other. One of the things that first attracted me to Greyfriars was the emphasis on small groups. The Alpha course that was about to start when I arrived around this time last year. And how there were groups forming within that. And the plan to hold the 40 days of community course, which we're doing now to strengthen people. And through these groups, we strengthen relationships with each other and give attention to each other. We also affirm people by showing affection. Paul chided the church at Corinth and he said, "We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding your affection from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also." Not just open your minds to us, but open your hearts. Be real with us. Be close to us. Christianity is relational. Christianity is about coming together as God's family, brothers and sisters, children of God. There's also a physical aspect to this. Paul says in a number of places, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." I was a leader at a youth camp once, and there was just this sort of outbreak of kissing among the young men and the young women. And whenever you asked them about it, they said, "We are simply obeying the scriptures to greet each other with a holy kiss." You know, there are appropriate ways for us to express our affection towards one another. Within different cultures, this may vary. What might be okay in one culture might be offensive in the other. And so we need to be sensitive to each other. The key thing here is not actually the style of greeting, but what's behind it. That there is a greeting extended with holiness and purity and with love, with a sense of embrace and drawing in that lets us know we are accepted, we belong, we are affirmed, we can be a part of this. While we might need to be sensitive to what some people feel is appropriate, we should find ways of showing Christian love and affection to each other. Maybe with a handshake, maybe with a hug or a kiss on the cheek, maybe with a pat on the back or an arm around the shoulders. Now I know that some of you here today are full-on huggers and there's no way that you get in or out or past that person or people without getting a hug. And some of the guys will give a manly bro hug. And others are just wary of touch. The reality is we all need human contact. At times we need a shoulder to cry on. At times we just need someone who will hold our hand. Part of being a Christian community is building such close relationships that can happen. You know that something has changed. Something has clicked, something has deepened whenever you begin to be so close that you feel each other's sorrows, that you're gladdened by each other's joys, that you're willing to bear each other's burdens. I was moved at the home group I was attending this week when some of the members expressed their affection for the group, a love for each other, a longing to be with each other. One of our members was overseas and couldn't be there. Before I arrived, they took a photo and sent it to him so that he could feel a part of the group and what the group was doing. This is the sort of relationship that is good soil and that encourages spiritual growth. I encourage you, be a part of a home group. We also affirm people with appreciation. In Romans chapter 16, I don't think that's a chapter that you'll read very often. I don't think you'll find anyone that's got a favorite verse in Romans chapter 16, but it is so important because Paul sends personal greetings to people. And he says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe. She has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius. And they are outstanding among the apostles." And he sends in all greetings to 27 people, plus a home group, and to another household. And you begin to sense Paul's appreciation and thankfulness for the friendship and support he receives from these people. When you read Paul's letters, sometimes pick up on his doctrines, Well, I don't know about you. I speak for myself. Sometimes he seems like the stern sort of guy that would be really hard to get along with. But then you see this and you understand he really appreciates people. He really loves people. He draws people in to this relationship. And I wonder what you thought when the letter to Philemon was being read this morning, where Paul expresses his gratitude both to Philemon and Onesimus, the slave. They're expressions of thankfulness, encouragement, and blessing. I particularly enjoy verse 7, which says, "You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." And you can see how Paul is expressing his appreciation to Philemon. I use this verse every week as a prayer, especially when I'm going out on pastoral visits. Lord, allow me to refresh the hearts of your saints. And we find Paul affirming so many people for so many things, because he knows that they are a part of the family and he wants to encourage them in what they're doing so that they might grow and mature and continue to be a part of this. Can you imagine a community where you are so affirmed by others that they accept you, they give you attention, they show you affection, and they show you appreciation? Now, ladies, allow me to talk to the men for just a moment, because for the average Kiwi bloke, this might all begin to sound a little bit touchy-feely. And our society says, be staunch and stand up for yourself, and you don't need the help of others as a crutch. But think about it, because these things are really important. And it's important that we as men are able to bring them and to use them within the community and to share them. Think about one of the All Blacks, when one of the All Blacks scores a try. They celebrate. They give the person who scored the try attention. They lift him up. They give him a bear hug. They pat him on the back. And they tell him, well done. And you can't get more Kiwi blokish than that. We need Christian men who are strong enough and spiritually mature enough to accept others, to allow them to be part of our team, to give them attention, to show them appropriate affection, and to express our appreciation for them, to cheer them on, to tell them well done. Well, what difference does this make to us? Affirmation expressed in acceptance and attention and affection, appreciation, provides a context for growth, a safe and caring environment in which people can come and feel they can really explore the faith and grow in the faith. One of our key aims in this church here at Grey Friars is to be a spiritually healthy people. And one of those signs of health that we cling to is that we are going to grow in faith. And so I encourage you in this, grow in faith and help others to grow in faith. We each have a part in this. Every one of us needs to help the other. If you've been a member here for some time, you have a part to play in this. If this is your first day here or you're visiting with us, we encourage you, play a part in this. Come along, belong. Play a part in helping others to grow in their faith. And I ask you, I challenge you, who are you going to give a spiritual attention to this week? Who are you going to affirm? Who are you going to show appreciation for this week in your life? Who are you going to help to grow and to bring and to draw? You see, you can even take this outside of the church context. You can take this into your workplace. You can make your workplace better if you will show to someone appreciation and attention. It'll create a better work environment. It will help them to feel, yeah, I'm part of this. I can contribute to this. I can help it. Or you could take it outside of the church and use it in your family. Show some appreciation towards your spouse. Give some attention to a nephew or a niece. Express your appreciation to your parents or brothers or sisters. You know that this will help things to grow. You know that this will help families to unite and to be strong. Let's also do this as a church community. Can you imagine what a difference this could make to our local fellowship and to our church? Try to see in your minds and to engage in your heart the picture of a church in which people are affirmed and accepted and appreciated, giving each other attention, showing affection. That would be a great church to belong to. And you would feel good when you come into that church and you know that people's attention and affirmation is directed towards you. And you would feel good to know that when you bring family here, that that is going to be directed towards them. And you would know that if you were to bring a friend here, that this is a place where they would feel that they are accepted and they can belong. and you would feel encouraged because you would know you can contribute to this with others as well. Such a church, that's what we're called to be by God. That's what we're aiming at. That's what I'm putting my heart and my soul into. And I'm so deeply encouraged to see so many of you in different aspects of our church life where you are also contributing and encouraging people. And we see those signs of growth within people's hearts and lives. And we extend an invitation to you. If you don't feel that you're in that place, come on board. Join us. Be part of what God is doing here. Be part of what God is doing through this congregation. God is doing wonderful things. God is doing wonderful things among us. And so let us be a church where we encourage one another and build each other up. Let's pray. Our Lord, we acknowledge before you that we are not all that we could be as a church community. But we want to thank you for what you're doing to allow that to grow within us and for the signs that we see of it. And so, Lord, we want to commit ourselves this very moment to helping your people grow. And whether it be at this church or another church, whether it be on a Sunday morning or through home groups, Lord, we are committed. We commit ourselves to you afresh. Take us and use us to allow people to grow in their faith. And help us, Lord, to be builders of others, to build them up. This we pray in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. We're going to close our service singing together the song, "With All I Am."